There's a change happening in the way we live, the way we work, the way we spend our money and make our decisions. We are evolving to be more conscious in our actions in a way that serves the world and makes it a better place. Welcome to The Ethical Evolution. The Ethical Evolution podcast is brought to you by the Ethical Change Agency. I'm Bindi, CEO and founder, and I am honoured to bring you the stories of those who create change through paying it forward and giving back. Ethical business owners and holistic healers who are determined to create collective change in the world. Once we have a change in consciousness and through collective change, we can become one. When I stumbled across my next guest, I had equal measures of intrigue and curiosity and knew we definitely had to chat. In what seems to be an ongoing trend, the global connections created through the ethical evolution are abundantly strong, and this one did not buck the trend. Deb Matlock is a shamanic spirit guide and animal communicator and guides people on their life and spiritual journey using nature and nurture. Deb is based in Colorado, USA, and is deeply involved in environmental education. My dogs, Lola and Louie, happen to be a part of this episode and were in the studio, so no doubt you'll hear them in the background, but Lola made an appearance, saying hi to Deb. She's no stranger to a Zoom call and just looked directly at her at the screen. So, I found my time with Deb so nourishing, like a big warm hug. So I hope you pick up on some of that too. Welcome, Deb, to the Ethical Evolution.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really looking forward to our conversation today.
Me too. And when I checked you out, I was super curious to learn everything about what you do. So it's a bit of a no-brainer that you're here. So can you tell us what it is that you do and your background?
Absolutely. You know, my background is I've been in environmental education for about 25 years. And paralleling that, I've had a deep interest in developing my spiritual path. And as a child growing up, I felt like communicating with nature and animals and the world of spirit just felt like a natural sort of thing. And then what's happened in my career path so far is that those things have merged together, the environmental education and the nature connection work and the spiritual work and living within sort of an idea of an animate world has just kind of ballooned into what I do today, which I call nature-based spiritual arts. So that's just kind of an umbrella phrase for all of that.
So
I'm also a doctoral student. So
you do everything basically. So you're an animal communicator. You're a shamanic coach. Do you want to fill me in on what you do in those areas?
Absolutely. Yeah, I work as a shamanic practitioner. And so in that regard, I work with folks, whether they're clients coming to me for spiritual counseling and guidance, or I'm working with people who are wanting to develop those skills themselves. And we're basically connecting with the world of spirit for the purpose of seeking guidance. And I really like to say always looking for the highest good, and how can we ask questions, how can we be open to the highest good and what we can then offer to the world around us. And the animal communication work I do is quite similar. Actually, I would call it shamanic style animal communication, where it's a same process, talking to the spirit helpers, talking to the spirit of the animal, and looking for guidance about how we can help. A lot of that work falls in the realm of helping animals get through certain situations, or helping people at end of life with their animal companions and things like that.
So. And I was just saying to you off air, I've got my two dogs in the studio. Lola and Louie are sitting under the desk here at the moment. And I know particularly Lola, she's a Fox Terrier Chihuahua cross, and she and I have been together for 9 years, and there's no connection like it. Like we talk to each other. Yeah, we get each other. I find with some animals that connection is like indescribable.
I would agree. I think our connection with our animal companions can sometimes to be the most profound or one of the most profound in our lives. And when we allow ourselves to be really open to that and open to all the levels of that relationship, I think it can just be such a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I know for me, that's true as well. I was, every time I adopt an animal, I always feel like we're kind of rescuing each other a little bit, you know, because there's always so much that I get from the relationship, you know, just having their presence in my life.
And no doubt you would do a lot of energy work as well. So with their energy, I mean, no doubt they can pick up our energy and how we're feeling. We can do the same with them.
Oh my gosh, that is so true. I think that's one of the, when I talk about animal communication, I like to talk about there's all these gazillions of ways for us to do it. And one of the ways I think is through this energetic conversation. Mm. You know, if I'm sad or stressed out about something, my animals are very aware of that.
Yeah.
And likewise, if they're kind of going crazy and bouncing off the walls and, you know, like before a walk, for example, the dogs just go insane. If I come very calmly and say, okay, everybody, they'll calm down, like get our leashes on, you know, they'll follow my energy, you know, at least a little bit,
yeah.
You know, at least long enough to get the leash on, you know, but it's a beautiful way that we can have these interspecies conversations, you know, across all kinds of boundaries. I think it works for people too. And we don't speak the same language. There's so much we can do with communication with just our gestures and our energy.
Exactly. Exactly true. So if someone was wanting to have a greater connection with their pet, what kind of things would you recommend that they do?
Well, that is such a great question. I think there's a few things. One is the first thing we can do with our animal companions is say, okay, I'm going to look at today or this hour through their eyes. Like I'm going to take my dog for a walk and I'm going to say, all right, what is my dog really seeing? And I'm not going to worry about what's on my smartphone or who I'm talking to, but I'm going to really pay attention to their world and what they notice and what gets their ears to pick up and what gets their nose to the ground, you know, all those things. And I think we can extend that to our interactions with them all the time. It's just, how can I understand their experience here? And then be an advocate for them or help them if they're feeling stressed, you know, and that's a great starting place because I think when we do that kind of thing, we start to realize where our worlds really connect with theirs. And then also where we really are different cultures, sometimes trying to live together.
Mm.
And in a human world, you know, we're asking a lot of our animal companions to come into our human worlds and behave by our norms. And so I think if we take their perspective a little bit more consciously, it can be really eye-opening.
Yeah, and I think, you know, particularly this year with the pandemic, I think our pets have been the heroes because we've been working at home and they've been loving it because we've been here. And I said, and it wasn't a joke, that when we, you know, go back to the office, it's going to be like, what about the pets, you know?
I think that's a really important question, you know, because it's been a big adjustment. And if all of a sudden a dog or a cat, you know, used to have people home all day long and then nobody's there.
Mm.
I love that you bring that up. I think that's a very serious place we should be really looking. We would want to help them ease that transition if we have to do that again.
Mm.
And maybe even question, how can we make it different for them? You know, maybe even say, what are my options? You know, I'm kind of hoping some of the work at home options will remain for some people, you know, like there's a lot of people I've talked to who are loving that and loving being with their companion animals more because of it. So maybe that'll be one of the shifts that we can make after this pandemic is a little bit more flexibility around that.
Yeah, totally.
I hope.
Yeah. I've, cause I'm actually, part-time at home now. And so the days that I'm not here, they notice it. They truly notice it. And when I come home, it's like, where have you been? So there's a kind of a separation anxiety that they go through when you're not there after so long.
I notice that with my own animals as well. You know, even if I go out to run errands and I'm gone for a few hours, I come back and their entire, you know, energy is super different. I think they're used to, you know, having a companionship of somebody here.
I've just brought Lola up to introduce you to her. She's used to Zooms.
She is precious, absolutely.
She's used to Zooms. So she will quite often interrupt my Zooms and my meetings and we'll just pop on in and we'll probably bring an item of clothing in to get my attention while I'm in a meeting. And yeah, she's like, what about me? So she's a little attention grabber, this one. Yeah, you can just see that energy in her, can't you?
Oh, and she's so sweet. And I love what you're saying. She's like, okay, my person has been on Zoom too long.
Yes.
It's time for me to, I've got to step in here. I've got to do an intervention.
And she's quite content to just be part of the conversation. She just, yeah.
Anyway, what a sweetheart.
I'll let you go and I'll take it easy, okay? So, yeah, I mean, so with the work that you do, what kind of change have you helped to bring forth for people?
No, I love that question. You know, it makes me think a little bit. I think there's a few levels that I would like to say I hope has happened for people. You know, one is I love when I work with people individually. It's an important piece to me to say, helping people see that their experiences are number one that matter. You know, there's no guru in the world that says, here's what spirituality is supposed to look like for somebody else. You know, it's more about saying, what are we experiencing? How do we make meaning around that? How do we embody that for ourselves and move forward from there? I love that kind of empowerment idea around, especially people's spiritual paths. I've met a lot of people over the years that come with a sense of having kind of lost their own faith and what they're experiencing. And then the other piece of it, I think, is to open our eyes to the sacredness of our connections with the wild world around us, the animals we live with, just all of life, just seeing, you know, every ant outside of our door, you know, as part of our community, as part of our neighborhood, you know, as part of our family, you know, and seeing our companion animals in a way that we really understand them as individuals with their own paths. And, you know, if I can make one little bit of difference in the world, that would be to recognize that our communities are human and also the more than human world.
Yeah, so
really,
true.
Really yeah. Feel that. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you bring that up as well, because I know through a lot of the work that I've been doing through sound healing, we've been doing a series recently where we're connecting with trees. So, you know, and all of the mystical kind of connections and energetic connections that we have with plants, you know, where, you know, my sound healer always says, you know, go out into your yard and give love to the plants. So I did this right in these two particular trees, and within days they were in bloom with the most amazing flowers you've ever seen. So by giving love back to the earth, it gives it back to us.
Oh, I love that story. I think that just gave me chills when you said that. I could feel my heart kind of, absolutely, you know, and you know, how often do we walk right by the tree at the end of our driveway or by our office building and not really notice that there's this living being right here, you know, in this whole big crazy world and this whole universe? Here you are in the same place with the tree, you know, and I love that. And I think that kind of going back to our energy conversation a minute ago, yeah, that love energy, you know, I mean, it's a beautiful way of communicating across our species boundaries for sure.
Yeah. And I think, and that no doubt comes back to your shamanic roots there, where, you know, connecting with the earth, and every being on it. I think we, quite often don't stop and notice, like you say, the community or the ecosystem that sits around us.
That's so true. And in fact, I remember several years ago, I was sitting in a presentation in Boulder, Colorado, near where I live. And I heard people a couple rows behind me talking about how they were feeling like they needed to have a spiritual experience. And so they were trying to plan time to leave, go somewhere. I don't remember where they were planning to go. I remember sitting there thinking, oh my gosh, you know, certainly we can go places and visit and have amazing experiences, but what about the amazing world right where we are? You know, I think like the plant growing in the crack in the asphalt in a parking lot is pretty impressive and amazingly, you know, sacred. And I remember my heart just kind of broke hearing them talk about how they needed to get out, go find a connection to nature that felt like a spiritual connection. That actually was a moment that really started to fuel my work. I thought, okay, I really want to focus on place connection and where we are and finding our own, each of us, our own unique sense of what that sacredness means. You know, whether it's the tree in your backyard or the ant outside the door, whatever it is, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, with how we've been locked down this year, we need to do that, don't we?
You know, I think so, and I also have noticed, I think, an increased interest in it.
Mm.
I've really found since the pandemic hit that I've seen a change in my own community, people spending more time outside, more dogs going for walks, you know, more kids playing in ditches in the park, you know, and it's been really beautiful. And I've also heard from clients and people I work with, it's like a deep yearning to just really understand where we are and who else is there with us.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, through all the conversations I've had this year, of which there have been many, one of the themes, or I guess if we were to wrap 2020 up in a bow, it would be that we've found what matters.
Oh, that is, you know, can I just say thank you for saying that? Because I think everything I hear about 2020, people call it a dumpster fire.
Yeah.
And yes, it's been an incredibly challenging year, but I really love what you just kind of talk about wrapping it up with a bow. And, you know, because we are living through it. And those of us that are still here from this pandemic are living through it, I should say. And we do need to find what are we learning and what are the gifts and what can we take forward from it, you know, even as hopefully some of it we leave behind, some of it hopefully we can open back up and become, you know, more interactive. Yeah, I think that's a beautiful image, is what can we learn from this incredibly challenging time that we're having?
Yeah, it's so true. And I would be really challenged to find someone who has not been touched by this and has not changed in some way. And yeah, for good
totally
and bad.
Agree.
Yeah.
For good and bad. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I do nature connection work for a living, and I can say that this experience has changed my experience of my own nature connection practice and having to lean into it more when I felt like everything was going crazy back in March when here in the States, we started to really close down, and it was very disorienting and very stressful. And I remember thinking, I need to see, going outside and seeing the birds doing their regular springtime activities and the flowers. It was just such a comfort. It's like, okay, there are some natural rhythms that are still intact.
And that's also interesting, you know, like when everybody went into lockdown, particularly in Europe, you know, we saw how the environment bounced back. You know, the world could breathe again, the waters started to clear and the smog started to lift and we could see things we hadn't seen in a long time. It was almost like the planet went, you guys go get sick and I'll go get better.
Yeah, we're going to lock all of you up for a while and we're going to have, And I think as a result, our opportunities for these relationships, you know, really see the animals we've been living around that might have only come out at night or maybe weren't coming into our cities in certain ways. You know, it's a beautiful reminder that it's our community as humans and also a whole bunch of other beings.
Yeah. And we're really, I guess, in want of a better way of saying it, we're kind of in the way of nature, I guess.
I think we can make that choice, and we could also choose the other piece, which is to say, okay, I'm going to honor, I am a piece of this, and I'm going to be in this web in a really humble way. And I'm going to say, what can I do to contribute and minimize my footprint? And how can I be here in some way that adds to the life around me instead of simply taking from it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now in the spiritual work that you do, no doubt you'd face some challenges with the different people that you work with. What would you say is your greatest challenge and how do you overcome it?
I think the greatest challenge I've experienced with folks in that arena has been helping them see that their experiences are so valid.
Mm.
I mean, I can't count the number of people who I've met with who had meaningful experiences of one kind or another. And, you know, the cultural voices or the familial voices or our inner critic steps in there to say, you didn't really share your, you know, a conversation with that tree. Come on, you know, and all these things that it's almost like an automatic response. I mean, I've experienced it too. Sometimes it still kicks in, you know, that those are strong forces. And I think that is a real challenge, is sometimes it's just saying, all right, we have to say, all right, that's one part of our life, but these experiences we have and these vibrant relationships with each other, with animals, with places where we are, these really are, It's amazing. That is sometimes is a huge challenge. And people want to go there. Otherwise, they probably aren't coming to a workshop or something.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff we have to crawl through sometimes to get there.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's interesting once you do get to a kind of a comfort zone, I guess, in that spiritual realm, and you experience things and want to share those with others, if they don't get it and you're trying to share that, it can be a little bit confronting for them. And I know my dad is not a believer, and he thinks I'm in some kind of cult or something. But, you know, it's those. I think for me, that can be a challenge too, because people just don't understand how profound this can be.
Oh, that is so true. And I think I find myself often saying to folks, especially if they're going through some pretty profound things that they're processing too, you know, choosing carefully who to share it with, which, you know, sometimes we share widely and it's just like, it out there. I mean, that's something I've had to kind of work on for my own work, is just say, get more and more comfortable with what I share because of what you just said. You know, I've had enough experiences early on in life that I said, oh, don't share anything that's personal or deeply meaningful. You know, and that's a place of sometimes having to push our edges. And also sometimes saying, you know what, I'm not sharing that with this person because I know they're not going to, it's going to be wasted time.
Yeah. So true. Yeah. So I think, you know, if you can find that space where you're comfortable and have your people that you can share that with, it is so valuable to share that experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm going to ask you this one, Deb. Can you define for me what being ethical means to you?
Yeah, I think a couple things that come to mind. One is a question like that, I feel like, is one to live forever. So I love that you're asking that, because I think it's one to keep asking ourselves, you know, as we grow and change. But for right now, the way I would answer that is, I think being ethical means to the best of our abilities to consider all viewpoints, not just humans, not just our own, you know, so whether we're dealing with human issues of race or diversity or conflicting opinions, or we're dealing with decisions in our communities about what to do with a wetland area or something, you know, to really try to consider all the viewpoints that we can is a really ethical, what I would consider ethical. And then on top of that, acting from our heart and our own personal integrity, I think has to be a part of it, at least in my own understanding and definition of that. It's like, I can't go against what my heart is telling me. Even if the entire room of people that I'm talking to are really angry about it, you know, being ethical means I've got to stand here in this integrity and say, I can't go against my heart.
Yeah. And I love having this conversation with people, because there is no wrong answer. Like, whatever your answer is, it's not wrong. But it makes you think, like, am I being ethical? Am I, you know, being true to me? So I just love that question, because no matter what you say, it's never wrong.
Yeah. And we can live it. Like, you know, that's a question that can guide us.
Yeah.
Keep asking that kind of question. We're going to keep ourselves focused on really developing that and really living that, which, I mean, I love that you asked it. I'm in my mind now.
And I mean, really, for someone like me, you know, like with an agency, ethical change agency, you've really got to stop and take a look at yourself and go, is that kosher? Should I be doing that? And even right down to every choice you make, I think, you know, it's just an awareness. It's a true awareness of everything you do. That's what it means for me.
Yeah, and I love that awareness of everything. I would agree. I feel like in the work that I do, I have to constantly be saying, it's the way that I'm showing up, the way that I'm interacting with this person or this place or this being, is it ethical? And always being aware of that, it's part of, I think, personally responsible. It's a really profound question.
Exactly, yeah. So, Deb, do you do workshops and things like that with people? How do you normally operate?
Yeah, I do a lot of one-on-one work, and I also do workshops in, until this year, I did a lot of in-person outdoor-based workshops, which I hope will be coming back on, you know, into the world again next, maybe spring or summer. And I also do virtual workshops, which I was starting to sort of focus on. And then, of course, with this pandemic, I thought, I'm going to learn a lot about doing these. And it's been really fun to do nature connection workshops with people from all over the place. coming together and sharing about where they are. So it's been a learning curve, but an exciting one. So I really love doing, you know, my roots were in education. And so doing workshops is something that's near to my heart as well.
So do you do like a bit of a video share type thing, and they share their environment with you? Is that how that works virtually?
You know, I did a couple workshops where it was really fun. We kind of split the day where we met in Zoom in the morning. And then we all went out for about 3 hours into our places and had, you know, I gave people activities and some suggestions for things. And then we came back and then we shared. People brought back pictures and stories from where they were. And it was just lovely. People from different countries, different states, you know, different time zones. Some people it was really early and some people it was, you know, being later in the afternoon. And it was just a beautiful kind of bringing together of all the different places on the planet. And I decided then and there that pandemic aside, I'm going to keep doing that because it was just really lovely.
Well, it just brings people together, doesn't it? And oh my gosh, that aligns with the mission of this podcast.
Yeah, and bringing people together and sharing our places was also so, it was just like we got to see pictures of a forest in Canada and somebody who was in Southern California and somebody who was in, I think, UK somewhere. And, you know, I'm just realizing how much more we all have in common than not.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, regardless of where we are and what time it is and all that kind of stuff, I think. I think the other cool thing, and I often have this conversation with people, and it really became more obvious when the pandemic set in, is that I guess what bubbled up for me was what you do today impacts my tomorrow. So we're all on this one planet together, and we could see very visually through this pandemic how one person's actions can affect many.
Yeah, and we can see so tangibly how deeply connected. Mm. You know, it's like I actually felt a little bit humbled. I thought I've been talking about nature connection for decades. I have never seen or experienced it the way that the pandemic has brought it so alive that no matter where in the world, no matter gender, no matter race, I mean, you know, where the disparity is coming in, and of course, if people are living in close quarters and can't separate. You know, but biologically speaking, this is really showing us our commonalities and our connections.
Yeah.
You know, in really profound ways, I think.
Yeah. And I think that what you're doing there, that is so incredible to bring people together and that connection with nature, not just locally but globally, I think is so beautiful. And I think it'd be amazing to be a part of. So what's ahead for you? What's your plans at the moment? What are you working on?
I am working on, right now I'm at the final stages of a dissertation where I'm looking at people's stories of their interspecies communication. And my interest in that is to bring these stories of this more than human connection live and to start trying to help pull some of these out of the shadows a little bit. I found over the years that I'll do a presentation or a workshop and somebody will pull me aside and whisper in the corner about some amazing experience they've had with a non-human being, but they don't want to share too widely, or they can't share too widely professionally, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, what I really want to do is some little piece of bringing some of these stories out and saying, hey, this is not weird. This is not woo-woo stuff that is to be discredited. This is a profound part of how we all are on this planet, in whatever way that does or doesn't happen, it's valuable. And so that's a project I'm trying to finish up hopefully by the middle of next year. And then, you know, that'll feed its way. It already is feeding its way into the work that I'm offering as well.
That's fascinating. I'd love to see the other side of that.
Me too. Me too. I can't wait.
Now, Deb, if people want to find out more about you, where can they go?
I would love to connect with folks. And people are welcome to go to my website, which is wild-rhythms.com. I've also got a Facebook group, which is a really lovely environment where we're focusing on sacred connection between earth, animals, and spirit. And that's at facebook.com/groups/sacred connection. Mm-hmm. And I would welcome anybody to come join in there. It's a fun, really lovely, polite. It's been really, you know, it's showed me that we can actually come together, and it's been a really great experience so far. So.
That's awesome. And yeah. So if people want to do, virtual or remote kind of sessions with you, they can do that?
Absolutely. The visual work is largely remote. So I work with people from different countries. We work on the phone, or we figure out Skype or whatever works best for wherever somebody is.
Yep.
And then also I do workshops. And like I said, I'm going to continue offering virtual workshops as well, and kind of find those in different time zones to try to accommodate as many different places. So I would love to connect with folks those ways, but always feel free just to reach out if people just want to talk shop about this kind of stuff too. I'm always happy to chat. So
awesome. Now, Deb, I've got the last final big question for you. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
What's the change you'd like to see in the world, and how can we bring it to life?
I so very deeply want to see a world that where people live from a place of compassion and empathy all of life, that we value the voices of not only our fellow humans, but also the more than human world. And that from that place, then we ask ourselves, what do we do? How do we act? What is our next best step? You know, that's the world that I am going to work towards until my very last breath in one way or another. And I think if those are interested in that, I think what we do is we start with right outside of our doors or the animals in our home and just say, how do I see you differently? How do I invite your perspective into the world that I live in? How do I decenter myself a little bit, you know, as an individual? And how do I get to know my community as humans and also the more than human world?
Love it. Absolutely love it. So that real holistic connection.
Yeah. Mm. And it's right at our fingertips. It doesn't have to cost money. It's literally right at our fingertips. Wherever we are in the world, there's life around us and, you know, just waiting for a deeper relationship to form. So,
yeah, I love it. Deb, seriously, there's got to be more people like you in this world. And I thank you so much for being a part of the Ethical Evolution.
And I'm deeply honored by this invitation on this podcast, and I so love what you're doing, and it's exactly what the world needs. And so thank you very much as well.
Thanks for listening to the Ethical Evolution podcast. If you're an ethical business owner, change maker, or holistic healer who's determined to make a change in the world and you need support to spread your message, visit ethicalchangeagency.com to collaborate.